Good evening. Good evening, everybody. You've tuned into Radiance by Design. And you know what? We're a growing community of people. We're all radiating, getting conscious about the frequencies that we're putting out into the universe and in our community. And I love it. And this is a call-in show all about you. Tonight we're talking, following our interview with Dhawal Cool and Kathleen Kingdon, we're going to keep talking about karma and the use of our mind and how to get clear from patterns that have been running through us for maybe millions of years, who knows. And what else are we going to talk about? Anything you want to talk about, because you're going to phone in with your questions. But first we're going to do the structures. We're going to do some healing work and some creative work. And what else? Anything that comes up. So here we go. Let's all join one another in a wonderful vibrational meditation. And I've gotten some really good feedback from a lot of you from the structures, doing the structures that you're doing on a regular basis. And I gather they're really as impacting in your life for you as they are for me. So let's close our eyes and create the sacred space in which we can do an awful lot of healing work and creation work, manifesting, and so on. Take a deep breath. Good. Now see above your head a golden ball. Maybe it's 2 miles up there. And below your spine, another golden ball about 40 feet. And from that, just a moment. And from that golden ball, draw a filament of light and move it down through your spine from golden ball to golden ball. And can you feel and experience that filament of light? I can. It really feels very vibrant. Now from the upper golden ball to about waist height, 20 feet or so out from your body, draw up a four-sided pyramid, and it's all golden, beautiful golden. And then upside down, meeting at point to point, is another four-sided pyramid, and its lower point points into the lower golden ball. So you've got yourself an eight-sided figure, an octahedron. The top point is touching the top ball, and the bottom point touching the bottom ball. So now you're in that eight-sided octahedron structure, and around it, around yourself, you want to create a crystal ball, the outside edges of which touch the inside edges of your octahedron. And inside of that, you're in a star tetrahedron, which is a three-dimensional Star of David. And be in that three-dimensional Star of David, and now start to spin, spin, and spin, and spin. A lot of you get dizzy when you spin. I do. Now as you're spinning and spinning, see in front of you a wonderful screen, and the screen is very magical. And whatever we create on this screen is going to happen, right? So the first section of the screen create, or that's what we're going to manifest, right? This or something better. And in the first section of the screen, see yourself creating whatever it is you want to be. And I always say the same thing, that I'm wanting to be more and more multidimensional, to bring in a connection between those aspects of my soul that are resonant or residing in different parts of the universe or different universes, and to bring them together with a consciousness. And I love doing that, because every time I do it, I feel bigger and bigger. I don't just mean physically. You know that, don't you? And now we wrap that in light and let that carry on and stew for itself. And then let's create another one, which is something you want to create and design, a project you want to create. Some people want home and family and children and so on, and that's wonderful. Some of you want to write a book, do a business, do great investments, travel the world over. It doesn't matter. What project do you have in your heart and soul? And see yourself there. See the resources coming. And see yourself using those resources, not just thinking about them, but using them. And creating and constructing all the pieces of this project that you want to do. And in that creation, oh my, it starts to come together and come together, and see yourself grinning, smiling, being pleased, maybe even working at it, and see more and more resources coming so that this project becomes self-sustaining. And see it serving. I know that a lot of us are really into serving and wanting to do our great work and wanting to serve the planet. See yourself doing that. Good. And you know what's happening with me is I feel my heart really expand as my project becomes more and more successful. What's happening with you? You'll have a chance to phone in about that a little bit later. Now wrap that project in light. Thank it for being such a wonderful, wonderful expression of your, not just your lifetime. We're talking karma in this show tonight. We're talking about mind. We're talking about how much intelligence you already have, how much information we already have within us. And I would say that the karmic information is often a limiter, but we'll talk about that too and decide whether that's accurate. And now wrap that in light and we'll move on to the Galactic Healing Center. Let's move into the Galactic Center and call in our wonderful healing team. Now, this isn't Jackie's team. Several of you have asked me this question. This is just a team that we all have beings and consciousnesses around us. And if you call in your team, you have a wonderful healing team. And some will overlap with Jackie's team, which is a huge coalescence of consciousness, isn't it? And I also work with a huge coalescence of consciousnesses. And they very often interact one with the other. But when I call a healing team, I see specific beings of light and truth, consciousness and love standing around the healing table. And I know that a lot of you see different characters, and that's great. And I have one that's, I believe that some of these are what we would call aliens, and some are angelic beings, and some are very etheric, and some are on this planet. That's how I see it. But I have one that's always barely able to reach the healing table in height, and he has this kind of vacuuming-like apparatus. It's not apparatus. It's a part of his structure. And then he draws a lot of stuff out of the person. Oh, and somebody else uses a vacuum-like tool as well. And they draw out things that might be considered our karma. Who knows? Let's get our karma drawn out, ladies and gentlemen. First person that lies down on the table is you. So lay yourself down on the table and ask the team either to help you with a specific problem or ask them what it is that you'd like to work on, because we often don't really know what's our priority, do we? So let's see. Okay, and so they're coming to you and they want to do the work and allow them to work through you and speak to you. And ask them if there's something that you yourself could learn about your life that would create a healing in both your consciousness and freedom from limitations. Remember, my guides are always saying that 95% of our job is clearing. That's right. And let's feel the energy as they clear out our confusions or that which is left from our day or our week or a month or whatever. Excellent. And then anything final that they'd like you to pay attention to, ask for a message. All right, and you might want to jot that message down. Now, I got some information right now that I'm a little surprised about. No, I'm not sharing that part. Sometimes it's a little private, isn't it? And wrap it in light. And now we'll let the team replicate themselves and bring in a fresh table. And bring in somebody that you want to help right now. Somebody who needs healing. Somebody who's either sick or broken or crying or just needs some specific healing. Someone who's passing. Let's have them lay on the table. Good, and then we're asking for a body scan and an assessment of what this person wants. Person can say what they want, or you can ask for what they want. Seek for them. Very often when you're doing this work, you'll see in the people that you bring in, you'll see, know, or understand, or just somehow comprehend something that might be in the way of this person's healing. Excellent. And they're going to run light all around it. And then once again, ask if there's any message for this person. Well, now that's pretty interesting, because I was told to tell her that there are deeper beliefs in her, that if she does not look at those beliefs, and the physical problems that she's finally getting clear of are going to begin to repeat themselves fairly quickly. Oof. So that's a pretty big message, isn't it? And we know it's like that, but this is a very specific person and it's a specific situation, so that helps me know what to say to her next time. With a little bit of gentleness in my voice. Let's wrap her in light, or him, whoever you're working on. And wrap the situation in light, and again, move it to the side, and have the team replicate themselves, and have a fresh table there. Now this one, you can just ask for someone to come in that you want to do healing work with, or that needs healing work. And sometimes the people that come in, you don't even know them. But in this case, I know this person, and I'm a little bit surprised that he would show up. So let them come in. And ask he or she what they want, what they would like, for their highest good. And have the team be talking to them, working on them. Excellent. That's interesting. As we're working on the body, the team in both cases is showing how to work on the brain as well, so that the brain, temporal lobes deal with pain and so on, and the healing capacities in the brain. Now we're talking about karma and the mind, and they're showing very clearly how the mind and the brain being kind of like the computer for the mind, which doesn't exactly live in the brain, does it? But anyway, they're showing that the brain has all kinds of messages and programs and stuff that come from other lifetimes as well. So they're saying in this case, the fellow I'm working on, they're showing that working with his brain is really, really important. And that would be both brain chemistry and meditative exercises and energy work. Of course, we could use a brain transplant, but I don't know if they're big on that out there yet. All right, and let's ask this fellow how he's feeling and if he needs something else. Okay, so here's the other thing, is in his lungs, there's an awful lot of emotional material. So they're saying that his lungs need to be energetically cleared out. And then they keep going back to the brain and the lungs, the brain and the lungs, the brain and the lungs, and they're running wonderful energies on him. What's happening with your patients in your healing room? Okay. And ask for a message for him or her. Thank them. And wrap them in light. Wrap this whole scenario in light. Good. And now I would like to bring Mr. Obama into our healing room. He may not have to lie down. Maybe you want him to lie down. You decide. But we'll have Mr. Obama in here and see how he's feeling. Okay, so in some ways he's doing well, in some ways he's really getting weak. So what we're going to do, I feel that what we're going to do, and you can choose, is to send light, ask the team to help strengthen him, to help absolutely infuse him with bright light of his own. His own journey has quite a bit of light in it. So let's actually reinstall some of the light that he seems to be having drained out of him right now. Yeah, his arms seem to be very weak to me. So let's just have the team infuse him with light. Fill him with light. that he can rejoice in the fact that he's got a wonderful overview in his mind and his brain. And we need to also surround him with support for the highest good of all concerned. Talk about karma, he's moving through kind of the planetary karma, is he not? All right, let's infuse the White House. Let's bring some wonderful light through the top of our heads, out through our chest, and send it. Let's send the pink light again. Send it throughout the White House, absolutely flooding the White House, and the Pentagon, and Congress and the Senate and all the places where there's war, where there's fighting, where there's dominance, where there's greed, where there's illness, and of course Haiti. I'm about to say that. Haiti, where there's just been such huge, huge devastation. My. And all the places on the planet where there's been such challenge. And send us light. And send it until you can feel the planet just resonating with this amazing light of yours. We're in a community here, so we're doing a great big job. And have that wonderful light go round and round and round the world until it comes back to you. You know, it's interesting, we're talking about Haiti, and we're talking about a lot of people passing these days, and we've heard before that many will leave the planet. But it's interesting, when I look at Haiti and I feel the heartache for what happened, I see many, many souls, many beings on the next levels, not just one level, but next levels, who are fine. They're rejoicing in where they are. That is not to make light or make it smaller, saying that there is a thing about people leaving the planet right now, and some of them are actually actively working with situations on the planet, and some of those Haitians are truly doing that. Again, I say that's not to make light of what's going on the third dimension, but it is to remind us that we, as we spoke about earlier, we have amazing teams of helpers working with us, and some of them are beings that have just transited to a different level. That doesn't mean you can guarantee a job when you get over there, but alright, so let's move back into, bring the light back into our chest and flush ourselves out so that we can bring greater love everywhere we go. That's it. And now step into your star tetrahedron. And once again, spin and spin and spin. Spin and spin and spin until you feel really free. And you come back into the room. Oh boy, here we go. Let's talk. I'm hoping that some of you will be calling in. I love your calls. We usually have such a good time with those. We're talking about karma and the mind, and we had Tual Cool, wonderful, wonderful channeled entity with Kathleen Kingdon on Tuesday night, and thanks, a lot of you sent me messages about that you really enjoyed it. And so I wanted to continue the conversation about karma, and their process about it was that basically that we all embody all of the information about places that we've been, experiences that we've had, and incompletions that we've had, and unfinished business that we've had, not only just ourselves, so I have a karma, but that whole groups of us, societies have karma, and so on. So that, and then karma, through the karma, we make these tremendous projections. And it's those projections that design our political system and so on. It's really kind of an interesting way of putting it. But they also suggested that we can move out of it by being very still, by being very centered, to move into your center rather than, Or another way to put it is, and I'm being simplified in terms of the depth of information they brought forward, but to center yourself and become really conscious that everything we look at some level of projection or an illusion and so on. So instead of being attached to, because I think my feeling often is attachment and karma go hand in hand. So instead of being attached to what it is we're seeing, we go into a neutral place. We stand in neutral. We've heard this from other teachers as well. And it's a big practice to do that because you and I are really an embodiment of all that we've ever experienced, aren't we? I often get these visions that I'm going to be standing on top of this big ball of past experience and get kind of free in a while. I feel like I'm right at the edge of that, but I've never heard anybody say that that's what's going to happen. Because it seems like when we die, when we pass, we don't seem to drop that or even be coming back time after time after time, working it through, making our contracts, sorting it out with each other, and so on. So let's talk about the kind of karma you're going through. Now, to me, karma on this questioning level would be, what kind of patterns am I creating in my life? And how do I extricate myself from them? What do I know is reality and what is strictly an illusion and an expectation that I think I have to have because it happens to be launched from my belly? So Bob's got the number for me here because I always forget to look it up. You can call in at 888-815-9756. I'll say it again. Apparently I say it too fast, so I'm told. 888-815-9756. And I'd love it if you call in or email me, Veronica at veronicaentwistle.com. That's Veronica, and I like to say that .com should be C-A-L-M. Veronica at veronicaentwistle.com. I'm just kidding. Don't you look for C-A-L-M and you won't find me, will you? So how are you doing on relationships? How are you doing on work? How many of you are experiencing the collective karma of economic disaster? How many of you are doing that? And how many of you are feeling separated from it, as if you're observing it and you're really not sure where the power is? I'd be very interested in hearing that. So karma and the mind, let's see. I'm going to take a look at a couple of you out there. You know, a lot of times my understanding of karma as well is how we believe we are. Because as soon as I asked my guidance, I said, okay, who can we talk to out there that's got a karmic issue? And they're saying that there's a woman out there, and she's probably a Polish woman, and seems to wear a lot of blue. But anyway, she's very intuitive. But one of the things that she's struggling with is an absolute network of beliefs. And they're saying that a lot of these beliefs, they would explain that her network of beliefs is actually karma, meaning she's designed by things that have happened in the past. And I look at her and I want to say, you know what, honey? You have the ability to see beyond it. It's like when I look at her face and her brain, you can all go inside and really reckon with this feeling. In the kind of karma or the past limitations that one has absorbed and believed in, there's a pulling down in the brain. So we're going to do a little energy exercise here. We're going to ask to feel in our body, mind, emotional self. We're going to ask to feel in our body, mind, emotional self all the energy. Let me see. I don't want to do this because what happens is we get lambasted, right? I want you to ask yourself, to wrap yourself in light, ask yourself this. Say, I have this belief that I am something. So this woman feels like she's a really good sport and she's very strong about her life, even though she knows things aren't really going to change too much. Even though she can't have what she'd really dream about, she's a really good sport about her life. I'm like, okay. If you can think of that or something like that, I want you to feel how that is in your body. And I want to remind my friend out there, the one who wears a lot of blue, she's actually very intuitive and really bright, but she's bound by these limitations, that they are that. They're limitations. They're like saran wrap. And the more she believes in them, the more truthful they are. But it's very interesting because she has the ability to live the humorous, playful life, but she has to step out of what looks like a cocoon, and I would call it a karmic cocoon, that she has adapted to. Now, look at yourselves when I say this. She has adapted to it by teaching herself to be a really good sport, to be fun to be around, to be confident in her ability to cope with life, knowing that she has these limitations, but she can be cheery anyway. And I want to tease her and say, you know what? You could doff those like an old cap. And coming out of those, you could find yourself really enjoying a whole new way of life. And it looks like you would turn in a sort of a right angle direction, and you would start doing life very differently. It's almost like you'd move into working with, or at least they show this, it could be metaphorical, working with flowers, working with beauty, working with, what do I want to call it? This is the same person. You have the ability to work in the world in a very different way. I suspect you're between 35 and 45. I'm not quite clear on the age. But you have the ability to have a whole new career, even though you're successful where you are, where you feel lighter and freer and younger as you get older and older. And it's really interesting because, and that's not because you're losing your mind either, it's because you're having fun and expressing some of the bubbles of creativity inside of yourself. But you're so deeply limited, like a lot of us are. Stop, everybody, and take a look. Call up your limitations. What am I doing right now that is coming from a belief that I've got that keeps me smaller? And Joelle Kuhl or Jackie's team, my own group, many, many other teachers are always saying, you have no idea how free we can be and how unlimited we can be. So I'm looking at my friend who is just a lovely, lovely soul and is behaving very well on the planet. Hey, honey, clear the limitations. And how do you clear it? Call them up and feel them. Ask to feel them. There will be a presentation in your body, mind, emotional self, which is actually going to pull you down. And when you get hold of that feeling, which is very uncomfortable, exaggerate it, and ask your higher self or your angels to pull it off for you. You don't have to have it anymore. It's not yours. It's like, you know how they say in The Peaceful Warrior, dump your trash. It's leftovers. It's this leftover stuff that you got comfortable with and you believed that that was life. It isn't. You know, I've done a few shows on being enslaved, how we've all been very enslaved. What are we enslaved by? Well, we got all kinds of stuff pumping through the media, right? You know what? If you're thin, you're going to be happy. You know what? If you've got even white teeth, you're going to be happy. And if you have the right duds on and certainly the right jeans, you're going to be really popular. You know, this is, I like fashion, don't get me wrong. I like pretty things, and I like to have fun. But it's true, if we all sit around and believe that, then we all go on mass. Half the world is starving, and the other half is on a diet. And those diets are really a part of our being enslaved by some of the, some of the artificial foods, the denatured foods, the incredible food problems that we've got that we've been convinced if we eat those, then we'll be in the fashion, we'll save time, we'll be cuter, we'll dance better, whatever. Instead, we have a whole bunch of overweight stuff, and we have all this freaked out kind of fat of you have to be really thin, so some people are off being so thin they can barely function. And I know of a woman who was doing fashion. She was doing modeling over in Europe. She's young. She's really beautiful. And they had to bring her off the plane in a wheelchair because what she eats to stay like that, she can't stand up most of the time. It's ridiculous. So we are enslaved by what we think is going to make us good. And what you and I both know, all of us know, that if you drop inside and work with your inner, you know how you can release attachments to all of those things. And I think that that's a really good equation about karma, that when we drop into our center, we do our breathing, we do our prayer, karma might be a lot more complicated than that, but it is kind of a social structure karma, isn't it? And you drop in and you drop into your center, you do some breathing, and you don't follow the attachments. That's really how you release the karma. So I look at my friend who looks so good in blue, and I go, you know, she has been created by these past activities, but she has such a bubbling, she has a well that's yet untapped, a very bubbling, mirthful, creative energy, and that's what she's going to bring forward. And that's a good way, it's a good example of releasing karma. So what about people, are you going to call in or not? Come on, you guys, 888-815-9756, 888-815-9756. So Jackie's going to be talking today about dealing with our God self, you know, is how we have, talk about limitations, how we have the judgments from God or how we have the mistrust of authority. Let's see. The whole point of our game and why I'm doing these shows and why Jackie and many others are doing those shows, because we're living in a time of shift. And in the time of the shift, we have the ability, at least that's what we hear, to recover who we really are and to become like connected with the divine within. And isn't it interesting that I'm sorry, I just got distracted here. I've got to relax. Just relax. All right. So if we don't trust God, say you've been through a lot of like religious, you've been through the Crusades, or I mean you've had many lifetimes, you've been through all of these different religious patternings, and you've been judged, and you've been persecuted, and you've had to be celibate, and you've been a whore, whatever, all of these complicated things. It's really hard to say, I trust my divinity. It's really hard to simply say, I really trust in spirit to be there all the time. I trust God. Most of us have attached, and this is back to what Jwal Kool was talking about, most of us have attached behavior to God that matches our expectations of men or of authority or of teachers or of fathers or fathers and mothers and goddess as well. And so we were talking about how intriguing it is. The whole purpose of what we're trying to do here is to extricate ourselves from all these, this incredible meshing of belief structures, because here we have within ourselves an amazing, amazing light of divinity. And to live in that, most of us have to, and not only to live in that, but to live in that in such a way that we move past the attractions to, say, karmic relationships, you know? If we could see the divinity in ourselves, let alone, they're full? Well, how come I haven't heard any beeping? Hello, I'd love to put you on the air. I hear the lines are full, but I didn't know anybody called.
Yes, can you hear me?
Hello?
Veronica?
Hi.
Hi, this is Ted.
Hi, Ted, do you have any karma?
I sure do. Oh, boy, yeah, I was going to ask you a question connected to our last talk, and that was my sensitivity, which I guess is all about karma, I don't know. But, you said that I actually can benefit from that sensitivity. I'm just not sure, just after listening, how I really could do that. Is there a way to do that in the short run, or that do I kind of need to wait for the long run when I get more enlightened?
You are getting enlightened. Don't worry about that. No, to benefit from the sensitivity is to sit in it and to be gentle with it. Because mostly what we do with sensitivity is we block it. We get defensive.
Yeah.
And so it's to sit in it and look at your defensiveness and then let that stop taking the central place, because your sensitivity is your greatest strength, and it's the radar. It's the feelings that you're going to have that tell you what's going on around you and what could happen in the universe, what could happen amongst people. It's a wonderful trait, Ted. But it's like the karmic stuff. Just sit in it and let it emerge, because when you harden off to it, you've lost it, and you've also lost something of yourself.
Okay. So,
and one more thing I want to say, and apparently the lines are full. What?
Let it happen. It's what you're saying.
And trust that you can use it.
Yeah. Okay. Because it just goes, I know I get this tension in my stomach, and it's just, there it is, and I don't know what's going on. I don't know what I'm tense about a lot of times. Sometimes I could kind of take a good guess. It must be about this, that, or the other.
Well, you know something really good to do? You know how to do breathing exercises. You're very good at that. That's one of your meditations, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So you drop into your stomach and breathe like mad, and it'll move. And one of the things I always do is say to my higher guidance, okay, just reveal it to me. And usually in that process, something will emerge and you'll know what it is.
Okay.
Oh, what they're saying is that quite often what's in your stomach is a message about something around you. So you could say it's like being forewarned.
Okay. Okay.
And so your job is to learn to decode the messages from your amazing radar-like sensitivity.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
You see?
And I just take guesses, I guess, and that's what I always think of as guesses, but you know, I could get good at guessing, I guess.
I don't think they're guesses. I think it's the same old thing. 95% of the job is clearing. You do the breathing like mad, clear your stomach, and the answers will become more apparent.
Yeah. Okay.
Does that make sense?
All right. That's all I wanted to ask. Got a lot
Thank
of other
you.
Folks, huh? Thank you, Monica.
Okay, good night. And we have, that's an interesting question, actually, but we have other callers, so let's move on through. You're on the air now. Who are ya?
Veronica, is it my turn?
You bet it is.
So this is Jonquil.
Hi, Jonquil. How are you?
Hi. I'm pretty good. I was trying to write you an email message when you were saying, just call. So I picked up the phone instead because it was quicker than typing. And then you were right in the middle of saying something about if we could just see to live through our divinity. And I just wasn't getting that part you were saying. You might have been answering my question, which is, just came to me while I was listening to you just before that about my personal karma. So is it meshed? I never put this together. I know I feel like an idiot, but is it meshed? Is there some meshing going on between that? Is it karma, the part about where all my work has always gone through some sort of male? I've always let it go through some man or some male entity, you know, to manifest. I didn't do it on my own. You know, I let myself be. I let it shine through some male energy. And is that part of that mix up why I don't have intimate relationship too? I mean, are those two things connected? I never really.
Yes, and you know what's brilliant about this question?
I never
question?
Saw those.
This is an excellent question, darling, because.
Well, it sounds confusing to me, so I don't know if it's good or not.
Well, well, you don't get marks on these questions.
Well.
We don't get
an great.
So here's the deal: is it looks like what's happening is that you're karmically linked, and I haven't seen this before, even though we've talked a lot. That you had a really hugely dominant role as a male, and another lifetime
was a male.
Yes. And
okay.
You were, another lifetime, you were a very horribly dominating woman. So what we would extrapolate, I'm just being very fast, this is karma on the thumbnail, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say that in both cases, you learned a lot about over-empowering. And this lifetime, your true nature has been trying to adapt. It's like I'm under-empowering my feminine side to make sure I'm coping with the needs of the masculine-dominated world.
From this
I've always seen this about you. You're coming to a time, and you're really close now, where your feminine light is just going to shine beautifully without any adaptation styles to it. And when that happens, it's no big deal. Your divinity is going to come through really well. And you're going to enjoy who you are, that you're a woman, and that you're delightful and you're amazingly creative, and people will work for you. I see you going into a kind of a business situation where people are working for you. Some of them are men and some are women, and you're happy as can be. Are you there?
Yeah.
But I've never seen it before, these other lives where you had those really dominant forces, both the male dominance and the female dominance.
Okay. And okay, great. Because, see, until you were just saying that part before about karma being, what did you say, something about it being a net or a mesh or a network or something?
Yeah, it's like a meshing made of many past reactions.
Okay, and yeah, and it was when you said that that I thought, well, okay, so here are these two issues that I tend to constantly have brought up before me, but they're not connected. As if, you know, like when they say make a list, here's your positive and here's your negative, and, you know, you make a list of, okay, this matters to me and I want to work on that and that and that, but the idea of them actually... Maybe they're more, maybe it's a zigzag or diamonds, you know, points on kind of a net, and they are related.
I think it's like the internet. It's nonlinear. It's a bunch of things. But here's what they're saying right now is that it would be good for you to sit down in a doodling form of mind and write, I have a right to be a powerful woman, or I don't have a right to be a powerful woman. Because you're the embodiment in your divinity, there's this really striking, empowering and empowered feminine. And you've never let yourself embody that. There's a huge mistrust of that for a number of karmic reasons. And they're saying, I have a right to be a powerful woman. I have a right to be a powerful woman. Write that as lines. As, you remember the old punishment lines? Only we don't want to do it as a punishment. We want to uncork that part of you that's been plugged up by old karmic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I mean by that?
I do.
Or you can dance it and sing it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to find that this light that I'm watching coming out of you over time, it's been going on for a few years, is going to get a lot clearer, a lot brighter, kind of a humble, sweet power, capital P power. And when you get there... It's not just a there, it's a process. But you're getting closer and closer to it. And then some of the things... What?
Sorry. Do I say, soul of my feminine power, I have a right to be a powerful woman. Soul of
soul of my feminine power. You know how to be
femininity.
Powerful and loving and compassionate. Now do a good job.
Okay.
Isn't that fun?
Yes.
All right, I better take one of my emails.
Okay, you better. Okay.
All right, much love to you. Thanks for your call.
Much love.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, I have two questions. That was fun. I really loved that. Now I have to make these quick. The violet flame, Mary Ellen has just written me a note asking about the violet flame, or she's saying, please speak about the violet flame. The violet flame came in from Saint Germain, who was a wonderful being in France. I can't remember the date. I think the 1800s. And he was a very strong ascended being who taught a lot of people. And what he did is he taught people to use the violet flame. And the violet flame is what you call forth with your incantations. And there are many. It's good to check the I Am discourses, or you can check the internet these days, and call in the violet flame and have it burn, consume, dissipate and transform all the leftover thoughts and feelings. And Mary Ellen, I believe that it's a very, very, very vital tool for moving and transforming karma. It can work on the physical. It's a really amazing tool, people. You want to call it in and really, when they teach you about it, if you really do the studies in that direction, they'll ask you to point whatever it is you're wanting to work on, and you have the violet flame, you have it burning and burning, or you have it bubbling and bubbling, or you have it spiraling and spiraling. They've got different ones for different things. I just love it and use it as even a beauty tool. It can lift your jowls when they're drooping and we get a little older, you know. But calling in the violet flame and Saint Germain is a good idea to call in holy beings. Helps a lot. So I'm being fast, Mary Ellen, but I hope that that's the beginning for you and that you enjoy it. I have another email here to answer. Much love to you. I love. Oh, dear. Somebody's saying he's referred to an email about his wife and the possibility she might have found her birth mother. You know what, Casey? I didn't bring that email up today, so that would take me too long. We're too close to the end for me to go back and get it. But either you can send it to me. But anyway, it looks like your wife, one moment. Your wife, Casey's wife. Hello? Is this Casey?
Can you hear me?
Is that Casey?
No, but it is related. This is Joel.
Okay. Hi, Joel. How are you?
Excellent. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Are you related to this fellow?
Well, that's actually what I'd like you to see if you can determine anything. This fellow is the husband of a woman that believes she might have been adopted from my grandmother.
Oh, my. What's your grandmother's first name?
I'm sorry?
What's your grandmother's first name?
Dorothy.
And is she still living, Joel?
No, she passed on about 4 years ago.
I'm just asking the guides here. And can I ask what the young woman's name is, first name?
Carla.
Okay. You know what? I believe that she is.
Really?
I believe if your grandmother was still living, she would be mortified and devastated to have that made clear, you know?
Wow.
She appears to be very, the grandmother appears to be very distressed. In fact, I feel quite ill looking at the grandmother, even though she's not on his side. The energies are very distressed. Meaning, how old was she when she passed? Was she older than 80?
I'm embarrassed to say I don't remember, but I believe she was 86.
Okay. It doesn't have to be exact. It's just that the vintage in which she lived would be so mortified to ever acknowledge that that happened. Do you see?
Well, and that would make sense as to why we never spoke of it, because we were fairly close, definitely at the end.
I feel like your grandmother is still distressed about it, even though she's over the threshold and in the etheric, you know?
So she's distressed over the fact that she gave this person up for adoption?
No, that people are knowing.
Oh.
You see, it's a different vintage than the way we are, Joel, right?
Sure. I've definitely tried to look at it in that light.
And the people, you know, we were talking about this a little earlier in the show, is that there's karma for the whole social, our whole social groupings, our countries, our cities. There's karma for huge groups of people. And in her connection, I don't know what her father was like, but it seems like she had a lot of authority bearing down on her. She was actually a very sweet person, your grandmother. She had a lot of really nice energy and really nice light. But when I look at how she would feel about that revelation, it was very, very frightening to her. Very frightening.
Wow. Well,
and
it helps me cope. It helps me make sense of the possibility, because when this first came to light, and there is no documented proof, really, so to speak, that we've been able to view, I couldn't really comprehend this. And I think it is so because it is in such opposite of the person she was. And that would make sense.
She did a good job putting her life together, and apparently having no experience like that she had to face, you know? But that doesn't mean we all have things like that. They call it the skeleton in the closet.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
But Carla's a good soul.
I believe that. I was
yeah.
just we all are very curious as to whether or not this is the real connection. She's been looking for her adopted mother for quite a while, and actually she started looking again when, or no, to begin with, I believe, the year that my grandmother passed on.
Hmm.
So you definitely feel there's a connection here, that this is, she has found.
I do. I really do, actually.
Wow.
I can't swear by a million percent, but I do tell you that there's a strong, it's hard to explain what an intuitive sees because we all see differently, but I see these really strong lines between Carla and Dorothy, and Dorothy not wanting to acknowledge them. And there will be, it's making me cry actually, and Dorothy, there will be another connection later when they've crossed over, and they will have a lifetime together. And I don't normally futurize lifetimes because I believe we can recontract that, so please, everybody, don't write this down and make yourself contract it. That way you can change it if you want, you know. But it appears that the way it's going, they will find their, the neutralization of the karmic part will happen in the next life or between lives. I'm not sure which, but I think it's the next life.
Okay.
And that I think that you might enjoy her. Do you know her very well?
Carla?
Yeah.
Just begun to know her over the phone.
Well, get to know her. Just see how you feel.
Well, from what I've talked and whatnot, I feel very good so far. You know, I wouldn't be going through this if I didn't. Would you happen to feel or know or see any way that we might find more of a connection here on this plane? Have we exhausted all our avenues of searching?
Does your grandmother have an? Your grandmother had an older brother, right? There's an older man in the family.
She had a younger brother. She had a brother that died very young. He might have been her older brother at the time of his death.
No, there's somebody still living who's an older man, and it might be an uncle or. Why don't you and I have to end this very shortly, so why don't you email me and we'll talk about it a bit.
Very good. Well, I appreciate your time and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Joel. And
thank
blessings
you.
To Carla and Casey and so on.
Very good. Thank you.
All right. And Dorothy. All right. Good night. One of my clocks says 7:51 and this says 7:56, so I don't know what's right. Okay. Are we still on? Thank you so much for your calls. Here I was nagging away about calling, and I'm really glad that we talked about karma because you know what? We can step out of it. Stop being propelled and driven by what is a collective response to what was. Let's all look for the fresh air in our heart and soul, in ourselves, and love each other as we struggle our way out of it. This is Veronica Entwistle saying, stay tuned in for Jackie Salvitti and ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. And next week I'm having on Galexis in Paradigm Shifters at 8 o'clock Tuesday night, and I think it's going to be the first in a series of four. But I'll talk to Ginger about specific information on that, and we'll tell you about that later. So very late, so much love to all of you. Thank you so much for listening. Many blessings. Thanks to Seth and Dawn and everybody at BBS. Happy New Year.